Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ and Lives and Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages, the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you that don't like asking your questions over the air, or giving your prayer requests over the air, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will get back to you as well. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you that are listening, if you don't mind, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this day that you have blessed us to come together in the name of Jesus Christ. Once again, Lord, you bless us to awaken this day, this morning, over into the noon, to the evening, that we may assemble together and go into the very word of God. This day, Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise, and we magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. And we ask for the presence of your spirit to be with us as we take this journey once again into the word of God. Father, we pray that on this journey, you will bless us with revelation, knowledge, and understanding that we so desperately need. So, Father, I thank you for all that is listening. I thank you for those who are you are leading to listen to this broadcast that is seeking the truth. I pray that they find it by the acts of your spirit in this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. We are starting off another new series, and it's a new but not so new per se because it's still dealing with the history. And as I said to you guys before, that what I'm going into is to answer the question that many sinners have, and now more Christians possibly are building up with the same question concerning Christianity. All of you guys that are Christians, if you're all Christians and you claim to serve the same God, why are you guys so separated, divided, broken up in fragments, you name it? Why is that? If y'all serving the same God, shouldn't y'all truly be one? And the answer is yes, we should truly be one. But all reality, we're not one. And so the question that lies in many minds of the sinners and now some of the Christians who may have even approached their pastors with the question, and maybe some of them didn't get an answer, or they got an answer that they knew in their spirit it was just something missing. Now, I'm not here to tell you that I have all the answers. I'm giving you what God has given me. Amen. So, as I said before, to answer the question why Christianity is so broken up, messed up, you know, today, why are we so separated and broken in fragments? And by the way, in case some would say, well, is this the way Jesus set it up? And the answer to that question is no. But anyhow, to answer the question, why are we so broken up and separated and divided, you have to go back into history. And as I said before, and I reiterated again, I wish that when I was in school, I took a greater interest in history. If I would have known back then what I know now, I would have took a greater interest in history, because history provides information that brings you to the now, okay? I say it again, history provides information that brings you to the now, okay? It helps you understand why you see things now like you see it. And so for us to understand about this broken up fragment, pieces against each other, all this stuff, we have to go back into the history, and that's what we've been doing. So on this round right here, I want to open up with a scripture from the Word of the Lord. This is the Word of the Lord, the book of the Lord Jesus Christ, a book of the messages he's been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah, as spoken of in Matthew 17 and Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4, okay, that Jesus promised to send his angel, the Elijah, with a message or messages from him, from heaven to his people. Amen. And I want to read out of one of the messages, which is called the 54th message. and this message was sent out by Jesus March the 9th, 1942. So in your private prayer time, you can take that date to Christ and say, Lord, did you send an angel out March the 9th, 1942 with a message to your people? Amen. And I'm going to read one of these verses here. And it says, the work shall continue on, for love is the message I bring. The church of Christ shall never again be destroyed. The evil shall not prevail against her, for she shall be adorned with a crown of 12 bright stars and garments of righteousness. Now, to answer the question concerning Christianity today, why are we so broken up in fragments, divided, and in many accounts against each other? Why is it so? Because the church that Christ first established was destroyed. Now, I took a pause for a minute to let that sink in to some of you that are first-time listeners. And some of you that are first-time listeners, perhaps some of you are Christians, and you're saying, oh, that's just absurd. I'm going to hit this button and cut him off. Well, I'm going to ask you this. Before you make such a move, hear this out, okay? And plus, if you, on this page, if you have a picture of a microphone on the right-hand side, click on that. A drop box will come and say episodes. And you can listen to the past episodes as I give more information about the history concerning the things that contribute to its destruction. Now, by all means, when I tell you this, I'm not saying that the power of Christ was too weak to sustain his people. In fact, it was not on Christ's end for the destruction of the early church. The earthly organization of the church was brought to ruin, okay? And it was because some other things were contributing factors that factor into the destruction of the early church. And this is what we've been looking at over the course of series of series. Now, we're on another new series, which is also another contributing factor into the destruction of the early church. Amen? So, if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20 in the Bible. The book of Acts chapter 20. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to read verses 28 to verse 30 in the book of Acts chapter 20. And one of the things that we've been looking at and been talking about the different factors that contribute to the destruction of the early church, we will see here, and one of the things here is what Paul is going to say to the Christians here in these verses here, amen, that contribute to the destruction of the early church, amen. And so I want to read verse 28 to verse 30 to you, and it says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which ye have purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So a couple of things are listed here. Number one, that there were who Paul referred to as wolves that enter in among the flock. Okay. And number two, he mentions that there was those who was among them that arose up speaking perverse things, perverted things, things that was not of God, that would cause them to deviate away from the right way of God and go into the opposite direction. Amen. And so one of these things we're going to talk about today in this new part of the series, and the title of this lesson here is the second century church facing Valentinism. Valentinism. The second century church facing Valentinism. Okay? And for us to go into that, we want to understand, and this is what I want y'all to understand on this too. This Valentinism was named after a man who got this, who spread it forth this doctrine that was not of Christ and had people following him. In fact, this is one of the things that affect the early church, because remember, we talked about and been talking about the past series how that there was different doctrines, ungodly doctrines, that was leading God's people astray. And this man named Valentinus, which I'm going to read some information to you in a minute. I'm going to go into the scriptures here. Started this kind of movement. And those that follow him, and was this movement that he started, was also referred to as Valentinism. Now, I want to read you some information. And this information is going to talk to you somewhat a little bit about who was Valentinus, and what is this Valentinus, okay? Okay, Valentinus, and it has here, he was born AD 100 to 160. So it said he lived, 60 years. So he was 60 years old, born in the second century, was an early Gnostic theologian, okay? Valentinus was born in Frigonus, Egypt, but moved to Alexandria as a child. He was given a Greek education and supposedly became a student of Thutis, who had studied with the Apostle Paul, okay? History says Valentinus became an eloquent, well-known teacher in Rome. In 157, his fame made him a contender for the Bishop of Rome, a position he lost to Anicetus. At that point, Valentinus left Rome, reemerged as a proponent of Gnosticism, and developed teachings that have come to be known as Valentinianism. Now, before I go any further, so this Valentinus is said to be a Gnostic theologian, okay? Now, when you research in other parts of research and history, it said at one time that he was in the church. And as I read this information to you, it was said after he lost, he was making a run for being Bishop of Rome. After he lost it, he left Rome, but then he come back and reemerge as a proponent of Gnosticism. Now, if you go back to the past episodes that I did on concerning Gnosticism, I want to encourage you to go back to that so you can understand a little bit more concerning Gnosticism. Now, there, like I said, the history is saying that other research says that he was part of the church. Now, I looked at one part of history said that he was part of what was called the Catholic Church. Okay. Okay. But anyhow, and some things are a little bit fuzzy on the history per se, but let's look at it in eyes of a couple of things. Number one, as we started off reading Acts chapter, in the Bible, I read to you Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 30. You will come to understand that this Valentinus either fit the bill or one or the other. Now, you said, what do you mean? Well, remember, Paul mentioned two things in here. He mentioned that there was wolves that were the inner end among the flock in sheep clothing. There was wolves. Or there was those who was arise among themselves speaking perverse things to lead disciples after. So this Valentinus fit the bill either as the wolf that came in sheep clothing among Christians, okay, or he was with the believers, and he arose speaking perverted things. Now, remember, from the Bible standpoint, there were Christians in Rome. Okay, remember, that's where we get the book of Romans. Paul was writing to the Christians at Rome. Okay, now, if we look at that, amen, and look at scriptures on that, hallelujah. First of all, we understand that Paul said that there will be wolves that shall enter in among the flock, not sparing the flock, okay? And see, during the time of the early church, those things happened. There were those who came in among the believers and destroyed the flock. By what? By these off-the-wall doctrinal teachings that they were bringing in. Now, understand something about Valentinianism, which is named out of Valentinius. Valentinianism is a form of Gnosticism, okay? And you know, in Gnosticism, they teach that there were particular ones that got this so-called secret knowledge, okay? And we looked at, when we looked on the series about Gnosticism, about what they teach and believe, okay? That, you know, the material world is evil. They believe that a evil God created this physical world and, you know, not the true living God and all of that. You know, we look at all that. Well, coming off of this Gnosticism is Valentinianism. It is just another form or a form of Gnosticism, okay, with more off-the-wall teachings. But the teachings is connected to Gnosticism because that's what it's a branch from. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so Paul told the believers in Acts 20, he said, "For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you." Now, this Valentinius, we look at it in one sense, can represent this wolf or wolf that enter in among the flock with this off-the-wall evil teachings. That was a form of Gnosticism, even though it is named Valentinianism, okay? Because remember, in Rome, there were Christians. That was the believers in Rome because Paul wrote to them. You can read the book of Romans, okay? Whether they was affected by this kind of teaching. Now, I told you guys when I went into the series about Docetism, and Gnosticism, that some Christians were affected by this. And what I mean by affected is they grabbed the bull by the horns and accepted it. Okay? Amen. They grabbed the bull by the horns and accepted it. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 2 and 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Now look what the Word of God says. Let me start at verse 1. It said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except," okay, something got to happen here, "except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, when you look at the word falling away, when you look it up, and especially in the Greek and all that what it means, it's dealing with an apostasy. And when you go deeper, it's dealing with a turning away from the faith, a renouncing of the faith. And see, when we accept teachings that is ungodly and not of God, as I said to you in the Docetism series, the same go here. When we accept teachings that is contrary to the teaching of Christ, and we accept it in our heart, not only will it lead you away from Christ, but it will even cause you to renounce the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. And this is what happened with many people, or some of the believers who was faced with these kind of teachings, okay? Amen. Now, if you look at another standpoint, and like they said, they were saying Valentinus was in the church. Well, if he was in the church, then he would fit this part of the bill, where that he turned away from the faith because he accept what? Remember, Valentinianism is nothing but another form of what? Gnosticism. So that means he had to have accepted the teachings in Gnosticism, okay, arose, like Paul said in Acts 20, speaking what? Perverse things, causing many to come, go after, to follow after him. But seeing that in other researches said that he was in the church, but they mentioned the Catholic Church, then I tend to look more towards the part where Paul said that wolves were grievous wolves would enter in among the flock. So I look at him more as one of the grievous wolves that enter in among and not sparing the flock. By what? By bringing this damnable heresy, okay, that was a form of Gnosticism among the people, okay? Hallelujah. Where he got some to accept this thing and cause the church to be hurt. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Which caused many, as we read here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because Paul was warning the Christians at Thessalonica, caused many to fall away from the faith, to renounce the faith. Because this is one of the contributing factors that contribute to the destruction of the early church. These teachings that some of them accepted and caused them to go away from the Lord. Now, as I read to you the history, it was said that Valentinus was given a Greek education and became a student of this person named Theudas. I hope I pronounced his name right, but it's T-H-E-U-D-A-S, Theudas, who it's been said this same Theudas has studied with the Apostle Paul. Now, if this Theudas has studied with the Apostle Paul, it's a couple of things, one or two things I could see out of this, okay? Because for Valentinus to become a student of Theudas, who has studied with the Apostle Paul, and to be coming up with this Valentinianism or this form of Gnosticism, something is missing. So I look at it like this. Either this Theudas really didn't study with the Apostle Paul, because there's no way I see the Apostle Paul, and when we get into a couple of the things that this Valentinianism teaches, I don't see the Apostle Paul giving some off-the-wall doctrines to one named Theudas who turns around and gives it to Valentinus, okay? Now, the other thing I can see out of this, let's say that Theudas did study with the Apostle Paul. Then Theudas got off track. Amen. He started coming up with some off-the-wall teachings, and he passed that off-the-wall teachings on to Valentinus. Now, you can look at that food for thought there in both things, but we're looking at this Valentinianism and Valentinus. Now, I want to, and once again, we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 through 3. And receiving, when the people receive this teaching from Valentinus, okay, it caused some to fall away from the faith. This is why, one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul was warning the Thessalonians, because remember, and if I'm not mistaken from history, when the Thessalonians was told that Christ could be coming back, that Christ will be coming back, they got to a point where they quit living. They just went out, just kept looking up, just waiting for Christ to return. And so the Apostle Paul had to let them know that there's a certain time that Christ will return. But he also warned them that there were going to be a falling away first. Why did he warn them? Because if he'd have just left it at, okay, there's a certain time that Christ would come back, and didn't warn them that, hey, you're going to see some of your fellow Christian brothers and sisters, they're going to turn away from the faith. If he didn't warn them, then it could have done something to them to where they go like, man, well, so-and-so leaving. I might well leave. Have you ever encountered that? Have you ever encountered that with people in the church? They was big on Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe left, and they said, well, Pastor Joe gone, ain't no need of me staying. You know, not that they should have been all focused on Pastor Joe, but sometimes, but through that, it can affect people, okay? And so, amen. And so when we look at it, and especially with this Valentinus, looking at it as, and I look at it more that he was a wolf that came in among the flock with this teaching, okay? Which caused some people to do this, what we're reading here and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 through 3. Now, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 8. 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 And remember, in the 8th chapter, remember Jesus was given a parable of different ground, okay? And he was talking about how the sower went out and sowed the seed and where it fell. And one of the spots he mentioned that in Luke chapter 8, he said some of the seed fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Okay? Now, when we go to Luke chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus is talking about and giving the interpretation of the parable, especially about the part where it fell on the rock. Now, remember, it fell on the rock. It fell by the wayside. It fell on thorns, and it fell on good ground. Okay? One of the things is dealing with the condition of the people and their hearts. Okay? So in Luke chapter 8, let's look at verse 13. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. It said, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. Now remember, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 through 3, remember Paul warned the believers at the church of Thessalonica that a falling away was going to come when? First. And here we're told by Jesus what would contribute to that falling away. The time of temptation, they fell off. So a couple of things we need to look at that. Number one is what I just mentioned. And this is what happened with the people during the time of Valentinus when he came in among them. Okay? Because understand this. When you come to Christ, please hear this because some Christians think this shouldn't happen. You're going to face trials and temptation. If you notice here in this 13th verse in Luke 8, notice that he said that they on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. That's how someone was in the early church. They received the word with joy. But notice something else that's very important that I mentioned to you guys at one time before. And said, and these have no root. What? Yeah, no root. Now that's, what is that? Yes, that's critical. Because here's the next thing you must understand as a Christian. If you have come to Christ, the next thing you got to do is get rooted. Okay? Amen. Because if you don't get rooted, then anything can come along and snatch you away from the Lord. You understand that? So there were those in the church when this Valentinianism, with this teaching, when Valentinus came with this teaching and his followers came with this teaching, they was able to get some, the supposed to be believers, because they was not rooted. You understand that? They weren't rooted. This is how Gnosticism was able to get some of the believers. They was not rooted. Okay? This is how dogmatism was able to get, they're not rooted, okay? Amen. See, today, and you have some believers, you know, it's sad to say that think this way. You know, the Lord told us in the words, and he actually told us, one of the things he said, study to show thyself approved. And then he talks about searching the scriptures. He talks about meditating. The word talks about meditate on his word, all of that. For some reason, some of us as believers think that it's not necessary. Now, of course, you may not came out and said it, but many times our action speaks louder than our words, okay? And hallelujah. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we seem to have this notion to think that since we have come to Christ, everything's okay. Like we don't have to do nothing else. Nothing else needs to be done. boom, bam, boom, we here, okay? That's it. But what we fail to understand is that you got to get rooted. You got to get rooted in the word. Because one of the things, you see, the root, all of being rooted in the word, that's going to help feed your faith, okay? So we got to get rooted in the word. But see, like I said, you have some that for whatever reason, and no doubt in my mind, some of the big of it is what Satan is feeding them, thinks that, hey, I don't, you know, I know he says study, but I don't really have to study. And so, like I said, some of you that's who I'm describing, you may say, well, hey, look, brother, now, I didn't come out and say I didn't have to study. But no, your actions show, because many people, not just mention the Bible alone, have the Bible in their houses, but they don't pick it up and read it. And not just read it, because one of the things you do when you study, you read with the intention of learning. So I'm not saying you just pick up and read and come back and tell the next day, yeah, Brother Nate, I read. But reading with the intention of study, with learning. You know, some people really don't have the desire to learn the Word of God. So they won't pick it up. But in their mind, they're thinking that I'm still good. And some of them have even went to the notion to think that I'm not worried about anything. Anything come up to me that's not of God, I can handle it. I can stand. See, what they're doing is they're going on their own strength. And as I explained to you guys in the last series, if you decide to go on your own strength, now remember, you got an enemy out there named Satan. Yes, you have some natural enemies. You got a spiritual enemy out there named Satan. And I'm not trying to give him glory, but your enemy is very cunning and deceitful. And he can use people that's got cunning and deceitful mouth. And I'm here to tell you now, because I faced this myself. He will have people telling you some stuff and would tell you it's of God, and it would sound so good that you will actually start thinking, man, it got to be the Lord, because it just sounds so what? Good. It sounds so right. Well, see, that's why the enemy is a deceiver. Sweet, why he's a deceiver, people. Because many times he ain't not coming at you straight head up. He got to trick you, deceive you, to get you in the path where he can destroy you. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to read to you a scripture from the Record of Nephi. Another one of the Lord's books where he dealt with the people called the Nephites over here on this continent. Amen. And like I said, I know some people think that, you know, he only dealt with people over there in Jerusalem, but he didn't. After his crucifixion and resurrection, he dealt with people over here, but he also had people over here before he was crucified that the Father dealt with over here. Okay. And I want to read a scripture out of here to you. And there was this man named, the people over here who was known as, you had two types in one sense where you had some people before them called the Jaredites, but I'm going to talk about the Nephites here for a minute. During the time of the Nephites, there were two people. There was the Nephites and there was the Lamanites. Now, the Nephites was considered to be the people of God, okay? So God giving them his commandments, his ordinance, his judgment, his statutes, you name it. His word was given to them. And they was to go and labor among the Lamanites to give the word of God to them. Okay, now, there was a man came among them named Shirim. And Shirim did evil. And he's approached by one of the servants of the Lord. Amen. And I think this servant was name was Jacob. Not Jacob from the Bible that you know, Jacob that had the 12 sons, but another one. Amen. And this is what he said to Shirim. And it says, and ye have led away much of this people, that they pervert the right way of God, and keep not the law of Moses, which is the right way. Now, at that time, when this was spoken, this is before Christ came and was crucified, so the law of Moses was still in effect. And convert the law of Moses into the worship of a being, which ye say shall come many hundreds of years hence. And now, behold, I, Shirim, declare unto you, that this is blasphemy, for no man knoweth for such things, for he cannot tell of things to come. And after this matter did Sheeran contend against me. Now, this is Sheeran saying the words that, now, the servants of the Lord among the Nephites would testify about the coming of Christ before he came the first time in the flesh. And this man Sheeran was saying that it was a lie. Now, he was saying that they was leading the people away from the right way of God, leading the people away, that they pervert the right way of God, when actually it was him, okay? It was him. Hallelujah. And this is what happened with Valentinus coming in among the flock. He perverted the right way of God, okay? Led people away. He entered in as wolves, not sparing the flock. And no doubt, the true doctrine of Christ, he had to speak against it like this Sheeran did to the Lord's servants, accusing the Lord's servant of leading people away and perverting the right way of God when it's Sheeran himself was doing this. You understand that? Because, see, this is what these wolves would do, okay? Especially when they got to put God's name to some and say they, what they got is of God. They have to accuse you of being leading people away from the right way, okay? You understand that? But see, this Sheeran, he comes in among the people, and he was perverting the right way of the Lord. He was leading people away, okay? Because as the people here, the true servants of the Lord, was testifying about Christ, he was saying there is no Christ. You understand that? He was saying there is no Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And see, if you would look at the teachings of Gnosticism and really look at what I'm talking to you about Valentinianism, you will see that it perverts the word of God. It perverts the right way of God. Okay? But because of some in the time of Valentinus was not rooted, had no roots, Valentinus could present this to where it make it sound so good that those that weren't rooted grabbed the bull by the horns and followed him. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing, even in this day and time, that some of you may have heard some people come, quote, in the church saying some off-the-wall stuff, and then on top of that saying, God said, God gave it to me, God this and that, and you notice that they get some people to follow them, and you're like flabbergasted, like, I just can't believe they following this person. I can't believe that they're listening to this person. What is happening? It happened in the time of the early church with Valentinus, and it's happening today. Hallelujah. Amen. And see, like I said, Valentinianism, once again, is nothing but another form of Gnosticism. Okay? These Valentinians, the followers of Valentinus, they claim to have some kind of secret knowledge that they was given unto other people. Okay? This so-called secret knowledge was ungodly. It perverted the way of God, okay? And it led people away from Christ. Listen, any teaching that you're given, when it puts down the deity of Jesus, the resurrection, the crucifixion, and the shedding of the blood, it is not of God. I don't care how many people you hear tell you, how many people put the name God to it, it is not of God. Even the Muslims will tell you that what they got, it comes from God. Elijah, Muhammad got it from God. Well, you have to ask, well, what God are you talking about? Because it couldn't be the true living God. That'd be talking about some other little G God, okay? Like Satan, because that's the only one it came from, okay? It didn't come from the true living God, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we, glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read another verse here out of the word of the Lord, which is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he'd been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah, from 1927 to 1994, thus far 120 times. And I want to read what is the 16th verse out of message 66, the 66th time that the Lord sent the angel messenger, that he sent him out March the 12th, 1945. There's another day for you. So when you're in your private prayer time, you can take that date, March the 12th, 1945, to the Lord and say, Lord, did you send an angel out at this time, okay, with a message? Did you send him out? Amen. Now, I'm going to read to you out of this 16th verse, and this is what the Lord authorized his angel to tell us. He said, they that go about teaching pervert things to set in order are not of the Lord. For they bring what? Discord and destroy the faith in subversive teaching. Fear not, for such will not save you. See, this is what Valentinus did, okay? He went about teaching perverted things, and that perverted things he taught was a form of Gnosticism, which is later also called Valentinianism, okay? He went teaching perverted things to do what? To set in order. These people. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. These people that have these perverted teachings make big claims that come from God, and they call themselves setting things in order. They're not. In fact, the Lord said here in the word of the Lord, for they bring discord. And remember, in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, discord is one of the abominable acts that God said that is abomination. He that sowed discord among the brethren, okay? Amen. Because why? It is a perverted teaching. A perverted teaching is going to sow discord among the brethren. Amen. And you have it today, people, in many of the churches. You got this going on today. A lot of ungodly, perverted teaching that has caused discord among the brethren. Now, when I was looking up the research concerning dealing with this Gnosticism, and here where the Valentinianism is a form of Gnosticism. When I look up the research, I want to read one of the things that I found on research here. It says that it is reported that in Los Angeles, California, is the only place in the world that all four Gnostic religions are active, okay? Now, it is saying it's the only place in the world that has only Gnostic religions. It said that it's the only place where all four Gnostic religions exist, are active. And I'm going to read these different quotes. I guess you call them churches off. One is called Ecclesia Gnostica. The other one is the Apostolic Johannite Church. The other one is the Ordo Templi Orientis. And the fourth one is the Gnostic Movement of Samuel On. Where? Okay. And these are supposed to be Gnostic religion churches where supposed to be, and they say all four Gnostic religions. And which would tell me that Valentinianism is taught in there, because Valentinianism, once again, is a form of Gnosticism, okay? And since this, they gave the location, Los Angeles, California, which is here in the United States, you can best assure it is affecting the nation. See, we got to understand, any place that got abomination going on, all kinds of iniquity and wickedness, is not going to stay to itself, people. It's going to go out and search that which is good to corrupt it, okay? Just like you look at the practice of homosexuality, and they call themselves the LGBTQ, LMNOP, whatever, community, okay? You think that they're going to just stay confined into their little community right there? If you're thinking that, then you deceive, okay? Because, remember, they got to go out and interact with other people. So when they come across a, quote, straight man, you think they don't get to a point where they start looking at him with the goo-goo and the flirty eyes? What? Because remember, especially the homosexual men, who are they attracted to? Two men, okay? So they don't care about you being straight. If they care, if they see they like you, they're going to make a try to, you know, make a little move at you, just like if it was a woman. So with these four, as they said, four Gnostic religions present here in the United States, you can affect, you can bet that it's affecting the nation. Because they're not sitting in their little building and say, oh, we're just going to say this among ourselves. No, they try to go out there and get recruits, okay? And see, this is what Valentinus did, you know, going out there getting recruits. You think he was, you think he'll keep these certain, quote, beliefs to himself and not go out and try to get some recruits? Well, if you think that, you're being deceived, okay? Amen. We're gonna sit there to himself and say, oh, I just talked to myself about this and won't share with no one else. They ain't going to, I'm sorry. He's going to go out there and tell as many people as he can. And he got some followers. Amen. He got some followers to follow what he was teaching. Okay. And it affect some of the people in the church. Amen. Well, you can say amen, oh me, but it did, okay? Hallelujah. And it's just like today. You got some people that claim to be of the Lord who won't get in the Word, who won't get rooted, and any kind of teaching that come along that sounds good to their ears, or as you would say, tickle their ears, they all on board, okay? They all on board. Just like you got one man who's now supposed to be, quote, a pastor, I think in Los Angeles, who's going around telling folks, and he's a supposed to be gospel singer, well known, and he's going around telling folks there ain't nothing wrong with shacking. You ain't got to be married. You can live together. Amen. Now, for people who are not really getting into the Word and studying it, that would sound good to some many of them in the church. Why? Because they may see somebody they like. They smile at each other, seeing each other every time they come to service, make a little Google eyes at each other, talking soft to each other, and they feel like, okay, we're getting real close. But, you know, I think that, you know, because of our closeness, I think this is of the Lord. You know, I believe we're going to get married. And so when they hear this, ain't nothing wrong with shacking, the Bible don't speak against shacking kind of thing, then they go, well, if he says it and he's well known, prominent, then it must be okay. And so they going off and they're doing it simply because of one who they consider to be popular teaching this, okay? Now, remember this Valentinus was said to be an eloquent speaker, okay? In fact, history says Valentinus became an eloquent, well-known teacher, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And so you got people that are, quote, so-called big speakers. They're able to get people because of their speaking. And especially those who would not search. People, please hear me on this. If you ain't been doing it, my advice to you is that you better train yourself to get into the Word of God and study. Because you're about to come up on a test that if you ain't rooted, you're not going to pass. Simple as that. I mean, ain't no need of me, you know, trying to itsy-bitsy around it. Let's be straight and honest with it. You're finna face a test. And I don't care if you've been around your pastor a lot or your sister in the Lord and all that, and you're feeling comfortable that if I face this test, or if I face this person or these people bringing me these wrong doctrines, oh, my pastor got my back, or my sister got my back, or my brother got my back. Well, guess what? You're finna face this test when they're not around. You're gonna face it. I have seen where some Christians, off of something that was told them, it threw them into a state of confusion. And if you don't be careful and don't be obedient to what the Lord said to do, you're going to be approached with something that is going to be told to you that is of God. And by you not being rooted, it's going to throw you into a state of confusion. Because guess what? You ready for this? Put your chest in. Don't have your chest sticking up when I say this, but it will even cause you to doubt God. Now, some of you might say, oh, no, Brother Nate New, you ain't talking about me. I ain't doubting him. He's my God. He saved me. I ain't going to doubt. Well, I tell you what, don't get rooted and see what happens. You will be surprised at what you would do. And when he hits you in the moment, you say, man, I just can't believe I did that. I'm telling you. People, I'm telling you, it's coming. Some of you ain't met that yet, but it's coming. Hold on. You keep on turning a deaf ear to the word of the Lord and see what happens. It's going to happen, people, okay? And when you look up before you know it, you're going to be away from the place that God once had you. Please hear this warning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Valentinianism, once again, started by a man named Valentinus, coming in among the Christians as a wolf, not sparing the flock. People, not only do the watchmen and the leaders in the church got to watch out for, but you, daddies, mama, you got to watch out for what is brought into your home. Oh, yeah. You can't be letting folk bring any kind of thing into your house. I ain't just talking about physical objects. So all these kind of teachers and different laws, you can't let them bring it to your home. You can't let people come and tell you, say, well, your little two-year-old child, listen, I just saw him pick up that baby girl doll. He wants to be a girl. You know, you're supposed to let them choose on their own. He's 2 years old. What is he choosing? But see, this is what we're facing this time. That babies, look, kids at 2 years old, it said, well, he's choosing to be a girl. He's a baby. He's a baby. Lord, help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, once again, for this blessed day. I thank you, Lord, for helping me to deliver your word. I pray that all that hear will hear this word in Jesus' name for your glory. So, Father, bless them, strengthen them, and keep them. In Jesus' almighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for the word of God today. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, at 7 o'clock tonight, Brother Eddie Lee. We'll hear this off, the full gospel message with Brother Eddie Lee, 7 p.m. tonight. So once again, this is Brother Nate, the Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.